The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Wow, do you know what happens? Oh, we all say beyond. After he says beyond, say beyond.
What?
You and me are going to yell beyond at each other.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond?
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Okay, well, that was not a lot.
Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 421, the world's number fun PlayStation podcast.
That's right, number fun.
Max Scoville is dead.
You gotta stop doing that.
Someday he's gonna actually die.
I didn't know about Brian yesterday. Everyone got sad.
Max is feeling under the weather, so I am taking over hosting duties. My name is Marty Saliva. I am joined by Andrew Goldfarb.
Hey.
Amazing. A hell of a catchphrase. Brian Altano.
Rap, rap.
That was really lovely. And the newest member of the IGN family, Alana Pierce.
Hi.
Alana, welcome.
Welcome.
You
came from Australia.
I did.
And now you live in this hellhole of a city.
That is the thing that happened.
Yeah. What are you doing here at IGN now?
I'm the Toys and Culture Editor, which means that I write about toys and stuff.
And culture.
Wow, that list ramps up real fast.
It does.
Toys is like a small box, but then it's like culture. It's like, wow, my God.
Yeah, it's kind of like a catch-all
for us. Culture
is
literally everything.
Yeah. That's true.
All things. So let's just leave it.
You're not going to get burnt out quick at all.
We called it geek culture at first, and then they thought that was like pejorative, so they took geek out of it. Now just culture.
Well, that does make most sense when you say it that way.
Yeah, sure. Because then just like extra stuff. Space.
But you do love video games too, right? That's why you're here.
Yeah, I've been a video game reviewer for 3 years. So now I'm kind of getting out of that, which I'm a little bit happy about because it's a lot of like exhaustion in constantly playing things for reviews all the time.
Yeah. It's hard to complain about what we do. But
I know, yeah.
It's also... I think that the way people play games for review is very different than the way, like, I know a huge chunk of our audience got Fallout the moment they can get it, and they called out of work and they played it for 4 or 5 days in a row. And you're still kind of consuming something at your own pace that way. I think something for review is a little different.
Whereas Vince, when he was on like Witcher and Phantom Pain, was like, oh, I played 100 hours in a week. And I'm like, I don't think the math checks out. I don't think there are 100 hours in a week.
Yeah.
Turns out there are.
Really?
Yeah, real bad maths.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. This is our PlayStation podcast.
That's right.
We're going to talk about some cool stuff. Obviously, the big news is that when you hear this, depending on when you listen to it, we are very close to the PlayStation Experience Part 2.
Well, that could be true of any podcast.
I mean, yes, the way that clock checks out.
Time is a flat circle.
PSX. They snuck in one more convention in this year, which we thought couldn't be possible.
Mm-hmm. It's actually two, because we have the Game Awards, too.
Yeah, I heard that deep sigh.
Sorry, the convention, I guess.
The Game Awards?
Yeah, it's a keynote. It's a presentation.
It's a Jeff keynote. My job is to write down times, and I had to write that one down.
I've never done it. I'm sorry.
You're a real bad boy. We're going to talk about PSX. So PSX, obviously, the PlayStation Experience. Last year was the first one. It was in Las Vegas. A lot of cool stuff came out of it. There were a lot of panels, a lot of demos, news. And this year we're having the second one, which is in our backyard, right at Moscone Center.
So what is this show? How does it work? Is it a celebration, or is it also sort of like you'll get to hear from insiders talking about like how they work on PlayStation games? Is it...
Yeah,
It's
sort of like PAX meets GDC, but all about PlayStation.
Okay.
So it's public.
It's
so
a community
fans will
event.
Be there.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, open to the public. Fans will be there. But it also is that like insight into behind the scenes for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to be, if you are in town this weekend, say hi to us. We'll be running around. Don't just like look at us and tweet at us. Say hi.
Oh, definitely come say hello.
Yeah. Brian looks mean on the outside.
Yeah. If you take a picture of Brian, he looks real mad.
Yeah.
What is it? No, I mean, if you just look at me, I look real mad. It's
no,
just,
you, no, you're I, nice. You kind of do. I'm, really? Now I'm paying attention to it. I'm like, you do
when
look
I was,
really
so
mad.
I was, right now?
You do look a little bit angry.
Why the fuck you say that?
I'm sorry.
When I was at 1UP, before we actually like worked side by side together, I thought you looked like a mean dog faced gremlin.
And now,
wow,
now you can
quickly
confirm that.
All right.
Okay, I thought you looked like a 6 foot tall talking rat.
Like Rizzo? Like a real big Rizzo. Yeah, PlayStation Experience. They're going to be...
good segue. All right, nailed it.
It's
all right.
Shocking that we're not number one anymore. Just shocking. Yeah, so it's going to start off Saturday morning at... come to IGN at 9:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a pre-show because at 10 a.m...
Come to the IGN website. Don't come to our building at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. A lot of people make that mistake.
Yeah.
They just show up.
It happens to the best of us.
And then our security guy is like, what's going on?
They took the sign down outside anyway. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's going to be a conference. We're kicking off the whole thing with a conference at 10 a.m. On Saturday. And I want to talk about what do we think? What do we want to see? What do we think we're going to see?
A lot of VR.
Everyone's looking at me.
Yeah,
definitely a lot of VR.
Yeah,
I would be shocked if they announced a VR panel that's like after the keynote focused entirely on it. But yeah, I would be very surprised if we don't see like a big segment of that keynote devoted to VR.
Yeah, I mean, we're hitting that point where they said VR or the PSVR should be out in the first half of next year.
Mm, and they're working on like 50 games for it already.
They're working on 50 games. And so we're at that point where, aside from PSX, CES is the only other big sort of show that would make sense for. I don't know. Do you think we'll get a date and a price? Do you think that's too soon?
I mean, if not now, I mean, so Oculus is Q1. So it's like if they're trying to compete with that, you would have to imagine they would want to be fairly soon, at least get their date out there fairly soon, even if they delay it. And then price is the biggest question mark.
Yeah, because I mean, they said it's going to be priced as a console, like quote unquote. And so it's like, well, is this going to be $400? I don't know.
I think
probably.
If they're, I would think if
seriously.
They really take a loss on each one, they could get it down to three. Mm-hmm. But, like, I can't imagine being cheaper than that.
No. And I think people are kind of out of their minds if they think it's going to get cheaper than that. Like, this is going to be a premier experience, basically. VR in general is
it's
going to be.
It's going to be so ugly bundled as a package. Like, the console with the VR is going to be so
expensive. It's
going to
be like $700.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's assuming. I don't know. What if we're insane? And what if it launches at $150 or $200?
I don't see that happening.
Sell out immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
I mean, I think like $99 is the sweet spot for anything like this, but I can't imagine them.
No, I mean, nothing is $99 anymore.
True.
Dinner isn't $99.
Coffee in San Francisco is $99.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is $99 anymore. Like, I see this being in the $300, $400 range, and I see that being very okay with a lot of people. I think
it's worth that.
Yeah.
At
the
very least.
Like, there's going to be a little bit of sticker shock that you're buying something that is sort of built on.
Well, it's dependent.
Yes. And it's not kind of built on the same promise that you would get with like a video game console.
Yeah.
Like I feel like spending $400 or $300 on a PS4 or an Xbox One or something like that at launch was I was like, why are you shaking?
You're being a real weird boy.
you're sort of buying into like a 7 to possibly 10 year console lifespan, right? But with this, it's like
we have no idea.
We don't know if in 3 years we could be on in the next thing. You
well,
know?
Is this going to be like Kinect, where like eventually somebody's just going to be like, no, well, that was a chalk it up as a well designed
right, like killer app for it yet, is the thing.
I mean, so that's the thing is we've all played it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, used PSVR.
That's because you're afraid of virtual realities.
It's a little bit.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and the demos I've played have been cool. Like the London heist, that was really cool. The kitchen was terrifying, but they
done
were
that one
oh
yet.
My
That's
god,
the last
it
one
is legitimately like I love horror games, and I was like, this is too much for me. I'm a giant baby. But we don't like those are cool 10 minute things. Like we don't know what like why would I buy this thing?
I mean, I did get to play. Sort of take on the playroom at Paris Games Week, which had one person with PSVR on, and then the other three with controllers, and it was kind of like Nintendo Land.
Oh, was that where you're the you're the monster, like the Godzilla?
There's a few of them,
okay.
So that was one of them. I didn't play that one. The one that I played had one person as a cat, and then a bunch of mice. And
oh, literally cat and mouse.
Yeah, okay. Literally cat and mouse. and the person who was a cat could see different stuff to the rest of us could see, which I keep likening to Wii U and GamePad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the mice had to sort of run around and collect cheese, and then the cat had to lurch forward and try and grab the mice as they were moving, but couldn't grab them if they weren't moving. So it was like this awesome family party game experience of out of your peripheral vision trying to watch that person physically move because they had to move forward, but then also trying to run away and they couldn't see what you were seeing. And I feel like stuff like that, especially if they introduce a lot of it, has a lot of longevity.
The life of a real mouse.
I don't
yes.
very similar to that.
Entirely.
He has that plight all the time.
All the
or
time.
She. It's really any
no,
of them.
Mice are boys and rats are girls.
Yeah, that was from the hit book All Mice Are Men, right?
Mice are from Mars and rats are from beans. Yeah, I think it's a weird thing where, like, that sounds cool. And, like, in practice, I think it's generally well done, like, all the VR I've seen. Yeah. But, like, all of these things are – we've gotten 10 or 15 minutes on the show floor of a busy show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what that thing is that makes me want to sit down on my couch and play this for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't found anything even close to
5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that's cool about that, though, is that my big – we've talked about this a bunch of – my fear of VR is that it turns into WALL-E and people stop experiencing the outside world and stop talking to other people. Yeah. Whereas like this –
sounds
like,
great.
That's, well, yeah. Once you get to know the people around you, you're like, yeah, this is something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been in America for 3 days. You're
VR.
You're already like, put me in the helmet. I'm done with this dystopian hell.
Yeah, but the idea of turning it into like a communal group experience seems pretty cool.
And it shows the diversity of it as well. Like, yeah. I think PSVR is great, but it is a good point in saying that every single thing that I played hasn't stuck out to me as something I want to play for an hour.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet, but I think Robinson the Journey looks particularly cool.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and that's, was that... No, that's not the Insomniac thing.
No, that's
Robinson the Journey was a kid.
It's the dinosaur one. Okay. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, that is what I'm excited for. Is like, because I haven't, like, I've talked about this before on the show. Like, I'm not a VR fan yet, but I'm also not, like, I want to stay open to it. Like, I want to be excited. I'm traditionally an early adopter of everything new. This isn't the thing right now I would buy at launch. But, like, that's why a show like PSX, like, every time we have a big Sony keynote, I get excited because I'm waiting for that, like, first-party experience that will hook me, that will make me be like, oh, this is why I would buy this.
Yeah, and this is interesting because we've never seen, like, traditionally in the video games industry, we've never really seen a hardware launch that happened in the middle of the life cycle of a console that really went on to just be phenomenal and a must-have.
Yeah, it was Kinect and Move, basically.
I mean, even if you go back to
expansion packs.
Yeah,
you go back to, like, they suck.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, but like the Move, I think, had a lot of ideas. They treated it like it was a big launch, and it had a very diverse lineup of different things that you could point that Bozo the Clown gun at.
Yeah.
And now you can use them with PlayStation Dawn VR. PSVR game. Yeah.
That seems awesome. Yeah.
It actually works quite well.
Did you get to play it in Paris?
Yeah.
Is it terrifying?
It's honestly, it's just like, it plays like an arcade game.
Yeah.
And
I mean, because it is. It's,
it
I mean,
looks
it's a
terrible.
Legitimate...
There's nothing about it that has anything to do with Until Dawn. It's, it would be fun to play with a friend, I think, and then it is a lot like an arcade game.
Yeah.
The very first thing I ever did on Oculus, like the Mark 1, like
throw
the worst
up all
one,
your own face.
throw up all over your face.
Why was it covering my mouth?
No, but the first demo I ever played was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
That was the original VR tech demo I ever experienced, and it's like, the second they showed that, I was like, yeah. Like, yeah. Not
well, that felt a lot like going to an arcade in the 90s, and there were those big, like, vans that you would
Except
get
those
in.
Those are cooler.
That were, kind of.
What? They move.
Were you abducted?
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. They were like these vans. They put them on, like, these, like...
It's like the Star Wars thing.
The
battle pod.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like that, but it was... I know, it sounded weird when I said I went to an arcade in the 90s and climbed in a van and went on a ride with my friends. But, yes, it's...
Wow, that explains so much.
I was 20 years older when I came. But it was, I think VR demos started off with a lot of sort of guided experiences like that. And we'll see how much that we move away from that. Mm-hmm. I think to sort of justify and diversify the existence of these things, they're going to have to say that this is the way to experience this game and not that this is just a slightly enhanced way to experience a different game.
Yeah, I mean,
because otherwise you split the market.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I see two things I see being announced at during the keynote is that No Man's Sky is going to have VR support, and that we're going to get a tentpole game that is going to be VR only, and I think it might be something like Killzone.
Honestly,
like, next Killzone is
for me. It's Dreams. Yeah. I mean, like Dreams. They've all but said it at this point. Like, actually, the one of the panels they announced. Actually, I think it's even that VR panel has a Media Molecule employee on it. I would be very surprised if Dreams isn't there. And Dreams to me is the perfect. Like that is the first thing that interests me.
Do you think it would be only PSVR?
No way.
They can't do that.
Especially since they've already demoed it with a controller and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge risk, right? Whoever makes the first PlayStation VR exclusive game is that's really putting the flag down.
Well, especially coming off of Vita.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
think about like all those like Uncharted Golden Abyss and Killzone Mercenary and all the like that awful Call of Duty game and Assassin's Creed Liberation. Mm-hmm. Like some of those have kind of moved, like Liberation came over to consoles.
The Vita is
like,
a great example too, because I think a lot of people thought that the overwhelming popularity of the PS4 would trickle over to pretty much everything else that Sony has applied themselves to in the last few years, and that never really happened.
Well, and don't forget it launched during PS3.
Yes.
So it's like it was before that wave of popularity too.
And even still sitting there now, there were rumors a couple years ago that they were going to bundle Vitas and PS4s and that remote play would become this thing that every household had to do. And the reality is that just never really stuck with a lot of people.
And it's weird too. During Black Friday, I bought the PS Vita TV. Mm-hmm. Best Buy had it for $20, which is $80 off. And so I bought that and I set it up in my bedroom TV, which is like, I don't know if I'll honestly ever use it, but the possibility that I can do remote play with it is kind of cool. That's just like a $20 remote play machine.
Spoilers, there's a closet with like 10 of them in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll just take one home. Yeah. I'll take you to the promised land.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the smart thing to do, I think we're going to see a lot of auxiliary experiences around franchises that we know. I could see an Uncharted thing or an Infamous thing.
What do you mean, like a vertical slice
like
of a game?
Something similar to Until Dawn where it uses that branding, but it's not really the same.
Yeah. Like an Uncharted thing would definitely work, especially if like here are iconic settings from the game that you can sort of just explore. Mm-hmm. Like have it be a first person walkabout.
Like
no
you
got
to cross a huge log on top of a ravine.
Yeah,
when you look down,
and
you
then
get
a Vuvuzela place.
I mean, the no combat stuff is what would be exciting to me. Like something like a Gone Home, like a Firewatch.
Yeah,
like those
Gone
are the
Home
things that I think would
be
interesting.
Yeah,
like those feel like the things where you're not worried about combat, where
Point
you can take your
games.
Time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like even like a Telltale
Grim
game could
Fandango.
Be cool.
Grim Fandango.
Yeah, Grim Fandango, perfect. Yeah, I don't know.
You guys are really just rattling off some of the best selling games of all time. This is going to be a huge hit. We're banking it all on this indie game about exploring a house and this weird ghost skeleton man.
That's kind of the problem, right? I do wonder about this is a very niche thing within a niche. It's a niche within a niche. Like, I mean, it's the most hardcore gamers with expendable income who want a VR experience, and that is a pretty big risk halfway through the life cycle of your thing.
Yeah, and they're the guys that buy everything, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that they dictate the way the market's heading.
So, yeah, but it's also halfway through the life cycle of one of the best-selling consoles. What will be one of the best-selling consoles of all time.
Yeah.
Something that's already moved past the Sega Genesis in 2 years and Genesis.
And don't get me wrong, like
years.
I would like to see this take off. Like I do want Sony to do this right and be the ones who really shepherd in. Like I would love to have that. And I mean, we talked about here going from like Super Nintendo to like GTA 3.
Yeah.
And, like, that first feeling of like, oh, this is like the next step. And I don't think we've had that in a while. Or maybe VR is it.
There are very few things in the last few years in video games that I've like actively wanted to fail and not fail in that they like lay everybody off and everybody has to go out of business or anything. But like when we were heading towards that era of Kinect, when it was like yelling commands at your television and moving your arm in the air to like change a show on Netflix instead of just pressing a button on a controller, which works 100 out of 100 times, I was like, I don't want us to go there. You know, I want to move away from that. So I was kind of happy when that got phased out. This is something that I want to see succeed because I want to see the creativity and ideas that come with that.
Yeah.
I'm all for the success of more things in the video game industry, because I don't think this will truly detract from the awesome games we're getting on PS4 anyway.
Yeah, so I don't think it will either. And like my problem with it right now is like talking to Alana yesterday about VR. You being excited about VR was more excited than I've been about VR from anything Sony has said.
It's like the most excited I've been about video games. Like,
since Grim Fandango HD.
Since Grim Fandango HD.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, that is what they need. They need, like, I don't get excited playing any of the demos that I've seen or, like, watching their keynotes or anything because there isn't, like, a killer app yet. But, like, I want to feel like you feel about VR. Like, I want to be that excited.
Yeah, you're totally right in that the software that we have at the moment isn't particularly impressive. It's just that... Yeah.
I mean, it seems like a lot of proof of concepts.
That hardware is so different from everything else ever. And I think that's why this discussion in general is hard, because we can't compare it to anything because it's not like anything else.
Well, and it's weird because it's one thing... Our job's sort of tough because all we can do with VR is... talk about it. We can't show it.
Yeah,
like it's one thing you can't really watch a video.
Marketing.
It's going to be so. I mean, it's going to. I think it's going to be. We've brought this up before, but sort of like the Wii.
Yeah,
where like the Wii sold based on you put the dumb little remote in your hand, you tie the thing so you don't hit your.
You didn't have to tie the thing before. It started like a year in. They made you tie the thing.
That's because too many people were hitting
a condom on it. Yeah.
There was a condom.
There was a thing, a silicone thing you wrapped the Wii remote in.
Are we talking about the same
thing?
Condoms. No, you're right. Like, and I don't know if Sony's going to have their own "we would like to play" commercials where these two middle-aged Japanese men show up to your doorstep with a helmet and they go sit down with your family and check this out. Because that's...
What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you not remember that marketing campaign?
Yeah.
No.
No, that was the Wii's entire marketing campaign, which was basically like...
Who are the Japanese men?
They were just actors. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know them personally.
I don't know those guys.
Oh, Brian and Tony.
No, but it was like...
traditional Japanese names. Yes. Brian and Tony.
No, when two heavy set Italian men show up to your front doorstep.
Speaking of Italy.
Yeah. No, but I think that's their big challenge, right? Mm-hmm. You guys are totally nailing it. Like, they have to get this in the hands of people or on the heads of people, which is even a little weirder, is to sort of go to the mall and be like, put on a helmet in the middle of this.
Well, and that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
And then you were saying yesterday that, like, every time you've taken a demo, they, like, sit you down and strap it to your head for you.
Yeah, so this is one of the main things that I'm really concerned about is every single time that I've played PSVR is I've had some random person fully assemble it and be like, is this comfortable? I'm going to press this button, tell me when you can see properly, then put the headset on, then give me a control. And at any point, if I try and touch it, they'll be like, no, I'll do it. I'm not allowed to interact with the headset at any point ever.
Why do you think that is? They don't want you, like...
I think that they don't want me to make some kind of mistake that will sell the product short.
Right.
Because based on how far you have, because it can move to have glasses in it, based on how far you have it, it maybe gets graininess. I'm not really sure, but it's... I asked several devs, can I do this myself, or what are you going to do about people who want to actually put it on at home and then find their headset when
they
can't see it?
What about people who are going to die alone?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's safer.
Well, no one could ever answer me. All of them were always just like, maybe someone in PR should answer that question, and all the PR people are like, run away.
Yeah.
And no one's ever answered how I'm going to use it by myself.
That's because every PlayStation VR comes with an actual human person inside the box that will live with you.
Brian and or Tony.
Yeah, Brian or Tony will be in every box. Speaking of Italy. No, that's a very, very interesting scenario.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but
because
that's 100%
true. They're judging your instincts to go and tell your story about how you interacted with this experience. And if something's even the tiniest bit off and you go on a video or you do a blog or something like that, someone's going to be like, I'm not down with that anymore. Like, they can't you can't download that demo yourself and play it at home, right? There's no way of actually doing that.
I think that's
that.
Particularly why it's so important to them is because they can't figure out how to market it outside of word of mouth, because how do you sell something that you wear on your head?
Yeah.
How do you make a trailer for that?
Yeah. Well, and they're, like, awful when you see those weird, like, both eye view, like, Oculus trailers. They just
look
terrible.
Look so good.
Well,
yeah.
When you're at GDC or something like that, and you walk in to try one of these demos, you're next in line, or, you know, PAX or whatever, and there's those video screens of just, like, these two big circles.
You have no idea what you're really
It doesn't
so
sell
bad.
The game well at all, no, but I think it's like, it is kind of terrifying to think that, you know, this is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like the Wii. You can pretty much, they had old people who were picking up those controllers and like, I'm bowling, Ethel. And she's like, that's not my name. And then you find out they've had a really long affair. That got dark.
It always happens.
Classic Ethel.
But this is like 1 out of 10 people in the mall food court who puts his helmet on might throw up immediately.
Yeah.
Like, this could be a thing where they're just like, that was awful. Why did you do that to me? I've seen people. I've been in a room with people. One of them is in this room right now who tried a VR game recently and got a little nauseous off of it.
And that one in particular.
Did you throw up?
I did not throw up. I didn't even really get that sick from it, but it was kind of what you were saying, where they didn't do any of that. They were just like, here you go, and I strapped it on myself, and it was way too tight, and it was not calibrated at all, and it was just like the worst game to play in that experience. And I don't know, the whole all around
you were like blue, like cold sweats after that.
Man, I just was miserable in that entire experience. But
was it Oculus Rift DK1?
No, it was the newest Rift.
What were you playing?
It was a Drift, but again, like, I never really talked about that
game. Is also just like disorientating.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. It's a very disorienting game to begin with, but it's also just like, I don't know, I had like the least optimal experience, which is why I didn't really like do a video on it or write about it, because it was sort of not the game's fault so much as like the setup.
Yeah.
But like, to that point, if you are making like a VR exclusive game, like, that is a problem, and that is a barrier to entry.
I didn't want to like put you on blast or anything, but I do think that that's sort of part of the narrative here, is that that's going to happen to some people. It's going to happen to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And their version of the story for this is going to be, I tried that thing and I got sick.
But the thing is, like, I've played Eve Valkyrie and was fine, and I played like a bunch of other VR demos where it didn't really bother me.
Right.
Like the Oculus Touch demo at Gamescom was fine. Like, there have been moments where I was okay.
Some of them have totally made me motion sick, to the extent that after it, I have to sit down and have water. And,
and that was kind of me. Like, we went out in the hallway and I took a deep breath.
Really bad.
Yeah,
Mirror's Edge would be awful.
I mean, that's the thing. It needs to be games with a steady camera that you are in full control over, and that just moves slowly. Like, that's why when, like, we bring up Gone Home, but stuff like Gone Home or Firewatch, where it's not like a sensory overload, yeah, is going to be perfect.
And stuff
for
that
this.
Has strafing, I think, is really bad as
totally,
well.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. But, just, yeah.
I mean, you guys are basically naming the anti-popular games right now.
I mean, they're not going to move.
Rigs.
Yeah, they do have rigs. Yeah.
Mitch and Zach did not like rigs. When they started PAX. Yeah. I don't know. I think that game seems like a really good fit for it, if that's like the kind of thing people like. But that also doesn't seem like a 10 million copy right. seller.
Yeah, and but neither does like Rocket League doesn't seem like a thing that people
yeah,
would
I mean, that's
about.
A good point.
And I think Rigs is pretty similar to Rocket League. I don't think it'll be anywhere near as addictive, mm-hmm. but that's sort of what I'm seeing it as. And it works as a shooter, sort of,
yeah.
or maybe as far as they can push it to be like that without people getting really
And they
right.
want it to take off as esports, too.
Yeah. yeah.
The
we'll
weird thing is, I don't want a 15-hour game for this. I'm not looking, that's not what I want from this. If they deliver a couple dozen cool 15, 20-minute things, I would be totally happy with buying this. There's a...
For that, $400?
Yeah, I was going to
yes.
say.
Well, depending on what the things are, there's a... one of my favorite games of the past 3 years, because it's still not done, is Kentucky Route Zero, which mm-hmm. is an adventure PC adventure game. And they released this in between acts. They released this really cool VR, not demo, but just like side story. And you are in a like a jazz bar, and the scene plays out in real time. But you can, it's replayable because you are paying attention to different conversations. So you're sort of like, you are listening in on a couple who's fighting at the bar.
Yeah.
Or you're paying attention to the performance on stage. Or you're listening to the bartender interact with the customer. Or you are looking over the shoulder of a guy who's writing in the audience. And like, that to me is super cool. And that's, and I know it's super cool to me, but like, that's not going to move. I'd buy it for $400.
Right.
But the average person who walks into a Best Buy is
well,
not.
You love like those kind of like strange, eccentric, quirky yeah. art school experiences. I'm really into stuff like that too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going. I think a couple of those things are going to help pad the sort of launch of this, but they're going to need something AAA.
I read an article.
Would you tolerate it for 12 hours? Would you tolerate discomfort?
I personally wouldn't. Like, I'm actually looking for more. I'm looking for something in between the experience.
Like 3 hours.
Yeah. That's yeah. exactly what I'm looking for. Something in between the experiences that Marty is describing
yeah.
and something
yeah.
like a 12-hour Uncharted.
So yeah. that I always thought of it as one or the other also, but I read an article, I want to say it was on Eurogamer, and if it wasn't, sorry to wherever it was. But it made a really good point that like the experience that author wanted was playing Fallout 4, and you're playing with a controller, you play it normally for 20 hours or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you strap on your headset, and for 2 hours you play with VR, and it's completely seamless. You can just put on the VR headset, it knows you have VR plugged in,
yep.
you go with that, play until you don't feel like it anymore, turn it off and keep playing with the controller. Like, just make it a seamless in and out thing. To me, that makes sense if they can actually offer that.
I would do that, but it's not much of a selling point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, again, for $400,
yeah.
like, why? To me, that's like, the
we've
smartest
just, we've just
use
decided
case.
It's $400. Yeah. I don't want to spend $400 yeah. for this. No one's asking you to.
Oh, that's the thing. Like,
if you say something enough times, it becomes true.
The Vita was what, $170 on Black Friday
yeah.
for that new GameStop one, which is I think the lowest it's been for like a new
yeah.
bundle,
which is the same price as the memory cards.
Yeah, basically. well, that's the other thing. That's a really interesting point too. Is that like, is this thing, how proprietary is this? I mean, is it USB charging, or do I have to buy yet another famous Sony proprietary charger
right.
for it?
Also, is this going to work on... Is this going to be iterative? Is this going to work on PS5, or am I going to need the PSVR 2?
That's the other
like,
thing, right?
I'm going to need PSVR 2.
Are you buying, like, an iPhone 3G?
Like, I mean, I have a 4S.
Like, right. Well, you're not part of the target demographic. Human beings on planet Earth.
Yeah, no, I love how you won't get your free new iPhone, but you're saying you would spend like $300 to $400 on a VR headset.
Priorities, man.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. It makes sense to me.
See?
Yeah.
Don't
VR headset comes first.
Don't.
No,
it's
I mean,
literally
no.
For, he just has he has to go to an AT&T store for 15 minutes and it's
yeah,
free.
Yeah, that's it. They'll literally
it's,
throw
wait,
his
it's
phone out for
free and you won't do it.
Yeah, he
okay, that's different.
Ford.
Yeah, that's
it's awful. Principle. It's pride.
What pride?
I'm sorry you guys don't have pride.
Don't give me free stuff? You like that you deserve?
Today I had to plug in his phone with a rubber band because the bottom is so broken that the old charging
it's
cable
It's also
doesn't
broken
work.
And you won't.
I also have to carry around a charger all the time and I charge my phone at bars, which is a weird experience.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean one of those people?
A guy that charges his phone. No, I don't know. Like, you're right. Like, what if we buy this thing for $400 confirmed here in podcast? And then a year later, they're like, here's version two. Like, is it just a
and that is what
upgrade
Sony
is
does.
A hardware upgrade.
They have done that with PSP, with Vita, like a year or two later. They iterate and have a new version of the hardware.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the...
It doesn't alienate the original
version. It's too expensive at $400 for them to do that. Like,
again, not a real price.
The money that they put into making it work, I feel like they can't do it annually.
But even $200, I mean, I think honestly, like, this is... Again, like, the types of experiences that are going to sell this thing, like you said, are not mainstream. They're not Call of Duty or Fallout 4. And maybe something like that comes along, and I really want it to. Like, I sincerely do. Like, the minute they show me that game, I will buy this thing.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe we should consider that the thing that is going to sell this thing is that it's so different from everything else. That's why I want one.
Well, it's so... It's not going to be so different than everything else, though, when Vive is live. Like, that's the whole thing. Is like, we were talking the other week about...
I guess it's just now that PSVR is new.
And that's why it's interesting, because, and that's why I mean, like, if Oculus comes out in Q1, let's say Oculus is out in February or March or something.
$300,
like,
confirmed.
And that thing is open source and very easy to develop for, and you can use it with PC, you can
and
use
Facebook.
It on Xbox,
Facebook.
You can do... But I mean, seriously, like, if that thing
go
is
go to your aunt's
open,
funeral whenever you want.
If that thing
what's
is
my
that,
ex up to? Just start crying.
You're the worst. If that thing is that that open and easily adaptable, like, why would someone buy one that's tied to a PS4?
Yeah.
Because don't forget that this thing's not $200 or $300 or whatever. It's actually plus $400 on top
of that.
I remember
when
the PS4 to use
when the Apple iPad came out, their big thing, I think, that they hoped was that people were going to annualize this purchase.
I'm still laughing about the aunt's funeral.
Don't laugh at your aunt's funeral.
We're close to a future where it's like, well, I'm not going to... I didn't like my aunt that much to fly home, but like, I guess I'll strap this thing on.
We're totally going to have that in like 10 years, where there's just going to be a camera floating.
It's
going to
be like robots everywhere in funerals, like banging and like, go pay your respects. Like, bam, bam, bam.
And it's going to have like pre-roll ads, and they're going to be like, your aunt's funeral brought to you by... Yeah, it's going to be bad. So anyway, I think Apple wanted to annualize the iPad, right? They wanted to make this thing that people bought every single year. But the reality was that that product was less like a phone and more like a laptop, in that people only bought one every 3 or 4 years or 5 years. Where they would just run it into the ground until there's nothing there. You can't participate in this conversation, Marty, because you have an old laptop and an old phone and you don't care. But your glasses
I have an old laptop because they won't give me a new one. And yet Alana, who's been here three days, already has a super nice laptop.
It blew screen
this
morning.
Nice.
Did it really?
Yeah. Smoke came out of
that
it?
That laptop is...
Blue screened.
Oh, blue screened. I thought you said it blew smoke this morning.
No, it didn't explode.
Also, nobody cares about this. I talked to Sam, and we're probably getting you a MacBook. We'll switch it.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So,
what the f***?
There we go.
5 years!
Well...
I'm sorry.
They probably just looked at your phone and they're like, he doesn't care about quality. But I think VR is going to be the kind of thing like an iPad or a laptop where you buy it once and then you might get it again in 3 or 4 years when there's a new version of it. But you're not going to get one every single year. Not at that kind of price.
5 years.
I don't think they'll make them every year.
You don't think so?
No. Because it's too expensive for them to develop it. Like, maybe it won't be after they've made this first one, but I think they put a lot of money into making this thing work, and they can't afford to make a new one every single year like they couldn't afford to make a new console every single year.
Yeah.
So I figure.
Yeah, I do think you'll get an iteration, just like I think we'll eventually get a PS4 Slim or something, because that's just how it goes. Like, eventually components after 4 years are cheaper to manufacture, and they can use plastic where they use metal before, and kind of like the new Vita has the plastic screen instead of the OLED, like stuff like that. Like, I do think that you can get down to be lower.
I'm picturing this like 10-year-old Vita that's just made of like gummy bears and tape. Still got the screen in there.
But no, I don't think it'll be an annual thing. But I mean, by PS5 or whatever, there will absolutely be at least a Mark II, if not three.
All right, so PSVR, $400, Grim Fandango's the killer app, and go to Brian's aunt's funeral.
We did it.
So that
not
was
my not my aunt. There's all of them.
Hashtag not my aunt. That was topic one. Jesus Christ, we are not very far in this show. You write that number down.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's talk about what we think we're going to see or what we want to see that isn't VR.
No, that was it. That's everything.
I'm done.
I just want to go to Lucille's funeral.
I do think VR will be 30% of that conference. Like, I do think.
All right,
you're gonna,
well, let's
really
talk about the other 70% then.
Final Fantasy.
I want to see Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy what? Seven?
Seven.
Oh my God.
I really would be surprised if we saw the remake, but you might see that port. That's one of the news items we have on here, is that the trophies leaked this week for the the PC port ported to PS4. And this thing was announced at last year's PSX, which was actually a really funny moment because people thought it was the thing that ended up getting announced at E3, which was an HD remake. And they trolled everybody by putting up the Final Fantasy VII logo and then just the same port that's now on iOS and PC, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to get a couple games that just launch. They're just going to be like, and it's out now. And I think this is going to be one of them. I think it's going to be like, and for $10, you can download Final Fantasy VII on your PS4.
On Saturday?
Yeah. Wow. I think that's going to happen.
That's a bold prediction.
And then I also think...
is it though? It's on PC and iOS. Like,
I also think Drawn to Death is going to.
Yeah, Drawn to Death would make
sense.
That's
the David Jaffe game. That game has been in beta for a while. People I know have been playing it. And I think it'll launch. It might just launch in beta or whatever it is. It seems like it's a very open, active development.
It seems ready to.
And so it'll just be... It might just be downloaded for free. That seems like the kind of game that would do that.
I can... Yeah, and what was the game at E3? Was it not this most recent one, but the year before?
Entwined,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Where they did that. Like, they haven't done that since, and I'm surprised, because that seems like a really good, smart strategy.
Yeah, because Entwined, in that same
Fallout
year...
Thing.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly,
Fallout Shelter, and then the... Dead Rising, super kooky, Ultra Edition.
Nobody knows how to say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they also did, Sony did that with like the Battlefield Hardline beta and a couple others where they were like, you can go home and play right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is really cool. Mm-hmm. PT actually did that originally too, right?
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Paul Thomas Anderson. One thing that I think is really interesting is there is a Future of Storytelling panel, and one of the people on it is Genova Chen from that game company. Mm-hmm. Probably slim to none odds that they actually show the next game from that game company, especially since they've talked at length publicly about not being tied only to Sony. But it would be really interesting to see whatever they've
been up to. It's been 3.5 years since Sony.
Yeah. I kind of just want to see a concept sketch. Like, just give us the tiniest nudge of thematically what this game is.
I mean, you can even get that if you just look at a picture of Journey, the themes.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Just
totally,
a picture, you totally feel it.
Same thing with Flower.
What do you guys think? I think it's going to be about rocks.
Yeah, that makes
they haven't
sense.
Done a rock game yet.
What's the opposite of sand?
Water?
Rocks, I guess. I mean, that's how they start off.
Rocks are just big sand.
It's okay. That's one way to put it. It's a very reductive way to talk about
very,
rocks.
Very
why is this the hill you're going to die on? Rocks?
It's really defensive about this, all right? We need a rock game, all right?
We had Chuck Rock. That was a rock game.
That was 30 years ago.
Boulder Dash.
I think that game company should make a game. Well, what do you want it to be? They did Flowers already. They did Sand.
Real Sad Boys who climb up hills and die.
Yeah, spoilers.
That's fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say that.
Spoilers
game's
for Flower.
About sand, but
you wouldn't say that desert game that's 90% sand. It's about sand.
It's about sand.
If that game's about sand and Flowers about flowers, Flow is about like
water. Spermazoa.
Yeah.
Don't ever say spermazoa.
Why not?
Gross, man.
The new name of the podcast. Spermazoa.
Sperm and squirm.
So I don't know. Email us at podcast.beyond@ign. Whatever the what's our
beyond.
There we go. Beyond the IGN. Let us know what natural occurring element you think Genova Chen should dedicate.
What Captain
his
America
next
power? I think it's going to be about heart.
No, that's Captain Planet.
Oh yeah, that's not Captain America's also about heart though.
A little bit.
Shield.
Yeah. No,
well,
he is
pretty
heart.
Much about
heart. He's about
so,
heart.
In America and working out.
That's PSX. 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday the 5th. Tune into IGN.com. We will have a pre-show. We will have the stream. We'll have some post-show reactions, and then we'll have a bunch of coverage because we're gonna go see some.
Well,
games.
And there's we're gonna play some games. We're gonna have a bunch of coverage. Brian's gonna be on the pre and post show with Max if Max comes back from the if he Lazarus is
from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Andrew and I are going to be writing news like Sad Boys.
We're going to be writing news like Happy Boys.
It'll be good news, hopefully, right? I mean, it's not
be great. I mean,
we don't announce anything sad.
That's like the PS4 has died, but you can go to his funeral.
On your PS4.
No, and we know, like,
anytime you want. Brought to you by Mountain Dew.
I always hate the, like, we know something that we can't talk about, but we know stuff that we can't talk about that is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited for some of these announcements.
That's right.
Yeah, like, super crazy stuff. And same thing with the Game Awards, which are Thursday night at...
Thursday night at
6 p.m.
Some big surprises line up for that one?
Yeah. Big old peas.
Mm-hmm.
Peas?
That's it? Give me a mm-hmm. Will PlayStation fans be excited about these surprises?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the PlayStation stuff's going to be, obviously, at PSX, but there's some multi-platform
stuff.
Are
we going to get anything on Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
I actually barely know anything about the Game Awards. Marty
yeah, he's been lying to you this whole time. Yeah. There's no surprises.
Really?
They've said some stuff. They said Far Cry Primal's gonna have stuff.
Yeah, they said publicly they're announcing a new Mortal Kombat character. There's a bunch of stuff.
No, we can't. Oh man, I was spelled that too.
Damn,
can't do that.
So close.
Marty knows
close.
Stuff.
Your theory on who the character was really good, but that would be spoiling the other thing.
Oh yeah, I have a really good guess for who the Mortal Kombat character is, but I can't say it because it's based on something we know is happening.
Oh
wait,
see, if you
can
just
we
didn't
say, it?
Say that,
wait,
part,
can we
yeah,
say
it would have been fine.
Exactly.
We can't believe it.
No. Oh, are we supposed to call that dude? Is that still
You could have just said... What dude?
Get it together, all of you.
Oh,
get it.
There's a guy we were going to call. The cat guy. We were going to call him on the show.
What? We got an email from a guy. Never mind, actually. This is the worst story of all time.
No, let's do it.
We got an email from this dude.
We're already here.
We have a news tips alias where people can send us like scoops and stuff. And a dude emailed.
We've literally never got scoops there.
And that's not true. That's not true. We got this email and Marty didn't notice the subject line. So he just started reading the body of the email. And it was like, hey, I found an underwater city and there are cat tugboats in it. If you want to know more, give me a call. And he listed his phone number.
Kitty cat tugboats.
Kitty cat tugboats. Excuse me.
Is this in a game or did this man really find
it? Didn't really say anything.
Fallout 4 underwater city.
Oh, Fallout.
Marty didn't see the subject line. So he just started reading this email.
And he has his phone number and I was like, we should call him.
Yeah. He does hot scoops.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
We're gonna put his number in the show notes. No, we're not going to.
The other big thing that I guess that ties into Santa Monica. Talk about Santa Monica.
Yeah, so this week, Sony Santa Monica has been on Twitter teasing something. It's really, weird, but they tweeted out, like, ooh, click here to see the next segment. And it was a video of, like, some dancing shoes. Mm-hmm. And then you click through, and it went to a NeoGAF thread. And then it was like, click here to see the next segment. And you went to a Facebook post. And then that had more dancing. And then it was like, click here to see the next segment. And you click there, and it takes you to Sony Santa Monica's website. And then they had another. And they're all just like pictures of wireframe feet. Like, it's really, we're not
like,
wireframe, but
like. Like ballerinas to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like a lot
when
of people.
You say like dancing, it like makes me think of happy feet. But I feel like it was like dancing.
It's a graceful movement.
It's dancing.
Dancing.
That was probably the most cultured thing ever on the show.
Yeah.
Brought to you by culture editor.
When you take words that we always make sound dumb and you make sound smart, it's very nice.
Thank you.
She's actually a pretty good American impression.
Really?
She's
can I hear it?
What do you want me to say?
Can you do like a southern, like a John Wayne type of...
I don't know if I can, actually. What's Sony Santa Monica's new project, guys? I don't know.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's me trying to do an American accent right now.
Really?
Are you not hearing it? I feel like I'm doing it.
I feel like you're doing pretty well.
Am I not?
No, okay, now you're doing it pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah. You'd have to throw in like 10 more like likes and, you know, like, I like, you know, like...
Oh my God.
There you go.
That was pretty good.
That's perfect.
Devastating. Yeah, that's all I need to say.
Jen?
Yep. I was looking for more of like a, hi everyone, I'm Alana and I'm having a great time.
So you wanted me to like turn into a newsreader.
Yeah, the worst person.
God, you always do that John Wayne impression.
It's
you
a
and
fun
Max.
One. Well, Per Schneider does it really well.
Per's non-accented English voice is my favorite thing.
Non-accent
English
voice? What is non-accented?
What is like non-accented English?
Well, I'm sorry,
do you mean
non-accented.
An American accent?
He means like us normal.
I'm used to Per's accent is what I'm saying.
This
so
has
when
been
he
the number one jingoistic podcast.
When he changes his accent.
Man, we are not culturally sensitive.
So what's going on with his feet?
So we don't know. I mean,
but the weird thing is, we know Santa Monica's working on God of War.
So that was the thing. Last year during PSX, Corey said...
Corey of Corey and Topanga from Boy
Meets World. He was like a big... Like
Corey in the house.
No, Corey Balrog.
He was a big
the fighter
God of War
from,
guy.
He was one of the bosses of Street Fighter 2. He was also the demon that fought Gandalf in that pit.
Oh, yep, yeah. We've named all the Corys now.
No, those are the Balrogs.
Corey. It'd be Corey from Barbie's World.
You got Corey Haim. You got the dead one. No, that is Corey Haim.
No, Corey.
Wow.
Corey Feldman?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's up with these feats?
So Corey Balrog is back at Sony Santa Monica and kind of said something. I mean, it wasn't streaming, but he said something at last year's PSX panel about making a new God of War that was quickly kind of scrubbed from the world, and we haven't heard anything about it since. I mean, my guess is we get a God of War announcement on stage.
We have to.
And
right?
He is on
What do you mean by
future...
something? Was it like, yeah, maybe we'd make another one?
I mean, he's saying, it's like he straight up said, like, yeah, we're working on the next God
like,
of War.
He wasn't like, maybe I'd think about it.
I mean, yeah, it was one of those like half announcements, but he said it when he shouldn't have, basically. And they've never really acknowledged it officially.
So that's basically confirmation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the fact that like they were very...
Well, and they brought back, he was the guy who did God of War 2.
Yeah, exactly.
And so and then
he left and came back.
And he left
so
and
does
back.
Kratos do ballet now? Is, does he fight this woman with happening. Her feet? Why are these feet here?
That's almost definitely it.
The big thing to think about is Sony Santa Monica is also kind of the incubator where that game company was working and where Giant Sparrow was working. And like,
Finch, yeah.
Exactly. Like, there are a lot of smaller studios that operate within, it's called XDev, within Sony Santa Monica that are kind of using office space there, but aren't, it's not God of War.
Okay.
It's kind of like the fourth floor here used to be, way back.
I'm
going to
throw this out there. Here's a prediction.
DMX.
The next God of War stars a female Kratos.
That would be incredible. I'd play that
named
game.
Karen.
All right, now you're losing me.
Named
Forget
Linkle.
That last part. Go back to the part where I had you. No, I think that'd be really awesome if they made a female God of War.
God of War.
I don't know if they would do that, though.
How come?
Well, because it's so... The entire franchise is so rooted in that lore of Kratos being the God of War. Like,
it would be a reboot at that point. It wouldn't have to be. Unless it was some weird mystical thing where he got turned into a woman.
It goes against the mythology.
But I mean, they have to.
Reboot in the video games industry?
They have to do something because, like, Ascension was kind of dumb. And so, like, they have to rebound from that. Like,
yeah, I think.
The original trilogy is so, like,
and I mean,
widely regarded.
It's that thing, too, where, like, you know, when Guerrilla stopped making Killzone and we saw Horizon, it's, like, so much more exciting than any Killzone game could ever be to me.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like, if they're making another God of War that stars Kratos and it's like the same thing again, I'm just like, I would rather see you do anything else.
Well, I think there's like, there is that level of franchise fatigue. I think the interest in the PS4 God of War would be the visual identity that the game would have and just the gorgeous set pieces. That would be the real thing that would sell
me. Also, like, I think it'd be cool to do a God of War game that's not about Greek mythology, that's about Norse mythology.
Yeah.
It's about.
So you want it to go like the way Assassin's Creed does, where they can kind of
just
time
hop
a little bit.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Just to. To your point, though, I guess it's fair to note that God of War, second related only to Gran Turismo, was the success for PlayStation.
Yeah.
In the days when, you know, like PS3 had a much smaller install base than 360, like God of War games did do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see them just making a really pretty current-gen God of War, same old thing, that would probably perform incredibly well.
That just personally wouldn't...
Because even Second Son sold very well
right.
for a franchise that typically hadn't. So I think, like, yeah, a new God of War probably would just do well.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of disheartening.
With Second Son, I feel like it was more the timing.
Because it was like we didn't have anything to play
exactly.
on PS4.
It just wouldn't be the salt.
Yeah. I mean, it was also it was a great sort of like showboat for your new system. Like
yeah.
it, was
it was gorgeous.
Gorgeous
yeah, it was also
game.
A fun
and
game.
Still
it's
is a
also,
gorgeous game.
It's that thing though where like the install base is now past 30 million.
Yeah.
And so like any of these games that is like especially after this dearth of first party exclusives that we're seeing this fall, like any big Sony first party game that is very pretty, I would imagine will sell pretty well on PS4 at this point.
It's not like God of War wouldn't sell, but I just don't imagine too many people really caring.
It's like buying a system for it or anything.
Yeah.
So the
safe
bet is a big, pretty, traditional God of War, and the out there bet is a time-hopping, Karen-themed God of War.
Just ballet.
Okay. One of those two, for sure.
What if the ballet game is just a game based on... What if it's the Kanye game based on Runaway?
Maybe it will
The video
be.
About ballerinas.
You think so?
I hope so.
Yeah?
Kanye's been working on that game for like 7 years.
I don't think so.
Yes, he has.
He hasn't been working.
He started Donda.
It doesn't mean he's been working on it.
Yeah, it does.
Moving on. We talked a little bit about that
idea. I like
idea.
When Andrew has to be the adult.
We talked a little bit about that idea of when they are ready, they can open up more power and make a cheaper version of VR or make a second version or whatever it is. This week, there was an update to PS4 dev kits that allowed access to the, and I'm going to sound like an idiot because I know nothing about tech, so I apologize in advance, but that opens up another core, basically gives you more power in the PS4, gives devs more ability to use every part of the processing from it.
Which is like, so weird that's a real thing.
Well, here's what's interesting about it.
It's
Xbox
such like
did
a
this.
Japanese video game.
Yeah,
plot,
that's
right?
exactly it.
You can open the seventh core.
Well, and that's the thing. So Xbox actually did this as well last year, but they did it because Kinect was no longer bundled in.
Yeah.
And so their thing was that if you made something that didn't need Kinect functionality and didn't need a lot of kind of the OS-based things, you could open up more power.
Hey, that deadbeat roommate moved out and I have a spare bedroom to rent.
Yeah, basically. This is interesting because we don't know yet or at all if that means there's something that is sacrificed in favor of this.
Right.
And then also, it's that interesting thing of like, you know, when a game comes out at launch, it's really pretty. But like compare a launch title on PS3 to The Last of Us, you know, and it's like by the end of a console's life, obviously people like devs can get more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So like this is exciting only in that it kind of opens that the possibility of like that second wave of like the really stunning because like Battlefront looks incredible on PS4. But it's like I feel like maybe games will look even better at some point. Who knows?
Every time that I get into this discussion, I remember playing on the original Xbox and being like, whoa, this looks so real.
It could never look better.
It seems like at every point I always think that it can't get better. But
yeah but I feel like it's slowing down. Like I'm less and less like really impressed or not impressed, like I'm impressed but it's not Mario 64.
Man, I don't know.
Like, I don't think anything's ever going to be Mario 64.
Running around Endor and Star Wars Battlefront.
Everything to Mario 64, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. And I think like I mean
Battlefront's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's like some of the textures in that game are just incredibly stunning.
And like, the PC mods make it look even crazier.
Yeah, I saw somebody was... Did you guys see the 1970s Star Wars mods that people added to that game to make it look like A New Hope?
Yeah, but that sounds
like it's got like film grain and it's just kind of like the palette subdued a little bit. It's gorgeous.
Jabba turns into just a fat ogre man.
Yeah, he's just a human man.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody steps on his tail. No, I think that's one of the first games in a while that... And I think The Witcher also like completely... And in to a lesser extent, Fallout did that for in art direction, obviously, which is always something that's going to be sort of higher on the pole than just like graphic fidelity. But I think it's happening here and there. It's not happening in these big sweeping waves. I think the quality is all over the place for games in general right now. But when you do see somebody really not try to knock it out the park in terms of visual realism, like it's...
I feel like The Witch is a really good point in that that's one of the best looking games I've ever played, but it's also huge and like dynamic. That game fits so much into it, but not everything else that's come out this year has. So maybe it's what was happening before is that the technology was advancing and everyone was advancing at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now we've got The Witcher and we've got Battlefront, and then everything else is still on a different level. Not quite
There's also
Tomb Raiders like that though, and I think Uncharted is going to be the best looking thing.
Of course, Uncharted. I would be surprised if Uncharted isn't the best looking at least first party game today.
Yeah, I mean all of the cores unlocked in the world is not going to help or hurt a very specific, you know, the way that a team creates a game. Mm-hmm. Like, this comes down to artists and designers and game makers. And a lot of people are able to, like, the people working on The Witcher were able to make something with very little load times in this massive open world that looked gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guys at Bethesda weren't able to do that for Fallout, but they were able to make a world where you could pick up every spork.
Yeah,
you know,
so many fans.
Interact with so many different things. So it's cool to see the different directions that people might take power like this.
Yeah, I don't know if this will give
so
us
stunning sounding. We've opened the seventh core.
I like that Max wrote. Why does it sound like something from the Book of Revelation?
It does.
It totally does.
We've already established that, though.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not going to necessarily open up, like, another wave because, as you say, it's dependent on the studios and what their goals are, I think. Like, each different studio has a different focus. But, I mean, it sounds like a cool thing that might make it easier. Like, maybe The Witcher could have looked better with the seventh core.
Yeah.
Or maybe just run better. I mean, even, like, the best-looking games, like, you can have slowdown at some point. It's like, maybe this is just, like, squeezes out that extra little bit of power where it's like, you know, you can have four explosions at once without slowdown.
A single load will get you through the whole game, like, that kind of thing. Like, if seventh core can make Fallout load faster.
Loading times have actually been one of my biggest disappointments of this generation, because I thought...
Fallout's so bad.
It's really bad, and then Just Cause 3, same problem.
Really
I'm playing Bloodborne.
Bloodborne's gotten a lot better, though,
That's the thing, like, Bloodborne's apparently not as bad as it was, but I don't mind going from Hunter's Dream back into the world. That to me makes perfect sense. I don't mind waiting for a world to load, but in between deaths, it's really hard.
Well, maybe you won't die if you learn how to run, learn how to lock onto enemies, and understand the ability to have your weapons transform and also turn the sound on.
Yeah, so you're playing Bloodborne now, right?
Which Beyond.
You finally dove into that game, which is Marty and I are definitely
right up there with Game of the Year.
Right up there with Game of the Year. It's,
I mean, it's getting there for me too, honestly. Yeah.
What'd you think of it, Alana?
I didn't play much of it, but of what I did play, I really, really enjoyed.
Are you like a Souls person?
Yeah, but I actually prefer
Are you a soulless person?
Have you unlocked the seventh core?
I prefer Souls to Bloodborne.
Oh, interesting. Really? You like the sort of like slower, methodical combat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was more into like the just run-up action hack
and
slash
stuff. I totally get why people prefer Bloodborne, because... Yeah. Yeah, but the Souls games are really methodical, and I just liked that challenge of them. I think everything.
See what we just did there? We had a civil debate.
We did.
Aww.
Instead of fighting.
Yeah.
Which is what I think a lot of people.
Editor.
Take note, internet.
It's totally possible, and I respect your opinions, and you respect mine, and everyone's okay, and there's no blood anywhere. It's so
now
simple.
That you two idiots are done to know. No, my thing is like I tried Demon's Souls and was awful at it and gave up very quickly.
Right.
And then you gave me a copy of Dark Souls 1 or 2 that I just barely started and did really bad. So I never got into them. This game I started playing over Thanksgiving break. I beat Cleric Beast. I beat Father.
How many times did you die in Cleric Beast before you beat him?
3.
Really?
Yeah.
Not bad. That's
not bad for a guy who didn't know you could lock on.
Yeah.
I also grind. Like, I was grinding. Like, so I died him immediately. Not immediately, but once I got to him, I died so that I could level up, and then I really grinded. Like,
what's the past tense of grind? I ground?
Groaned.
I groaned?
Groaned.
I grindled?
I grindled.
Grundled?
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
No, that's definitely not it.
It's not grundle?
You know why that's not it? Because that's an awful word.
Grundle and spermatozoa.
Grinded?
Oh, Gruntilda.
I think it would be grinded in this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I grinded?
for professional
ground
players.
Is, yeah, let's go grind it. I like it.
but anyway, yeah, I like it a lot. I don't think...
oh, it's a good podcast. Gone Grinding.
Okay, I'll make a note.
Write it down. Thanks, man.
Andrew's skateboarding podcast.
Yeah, I think the Barrett entry is not as high as people would have led me to believe.
Right.
For Bloodborne specifically, because I had a lot of people tell me, oh, it's the best one for newcomers. But then I've also had people like Dan say that it's the worst one for newcomers.
Really?
I like it a lot. I think I want to get further. I beat the father. I'm going to grind out some more levels.
Father Gasiglione.
Gasiglione.
Yeah. He's
what do you think of the, croissant? Like the environments in that game?
I really like the art direction in that game. It's a, like, the bleakest thing ever.
Everything looks super wet. Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. The DLC is so much wetter.
Yeah. It's even wetter?
It's even wetter.
That's what it says in the box. It's even wetter. no, I just like, I think about that game sometimes, like on just, like, you'll just be walking down the street by yourself and all of a sudden you think about that forest area in that game or like the town area.
The environments
game,
are amazing.
Yeah, yeah, they're just like... Yeah.
And even like little things, like they're just so smart with like... I know, like, that first area where there's, like, the bonfire lit is, like, when you first round that corner and you just see, like, a mob of 20 guys around that bonfire is, like, the most terrifying thing in the world.
Well, also, I was watching you play, and he got, after he beat Father Gascon, he got to that thing where he's like, oh, I'm going to pick this up. And then the invisible thing lifted him in the air, frenzied him, and killed him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was so
it
good.
Kill me. I survived.
Oh, that's true. And it was so good because I knew it was going to happen, and I was, like, really excited. And he's just like, well, I don't know what is happening in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, then he tried to explain Insight to me, and I didn't understand.
Yeah. No, there's that great, like, sort of element of surprise about every time you turn a corner in that game of not knowing what's going to kill you or how.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not, like, it really is, like, so that bonfire thing, like, now I go there and that's where I farm blood echoes because now I can mow through those guys. It's, like, that interesting, much like why I like Spelunky and why I like roguelikes, that feeling of, like, triumph and like you accomplish something is so good. And when you've died to a boss a few times and then you finally beat them, like, when I beat Father, whatever his name is, I was, like, kind of like I felt the adrenaline, like my heart was beating really fast.
Yeah,
like,
it's a tremendous accomplishment, you know, like, and it's also something like you feel like you earned that, you didn't just luck into. And this is why I'm glad you're playing this game. I was talking about this with Marty last night about how you're very specifically, like, you love to, like, you'll watch a show and you'll grind an RPG in the background and, like, all of a sudden you'll look down. You'll grundle an RPG and you'll get, like, to
Wait,
level.
Me specifically?
Yeah.
You, like, guys are talking about me?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, we love you.
Thanks, guys.
I almost said we hate you. I almost let that out. I'm
You're
so sorry.
We would totally bitch about it.
Yeah, we just. I mean, the rest of the things we said were bad. No, I'm kidding.
Of course.
No, but I think it's like it's totally something you appreciated. You'll appreciate because it's you get to go in, you get your ass kicked, and you come back, and then you grind and grind and grind.
Yeah.
But and like it never truly feels like a chore. And then you can come back in. Like, I actually probably grundled a little too hard in that game. Because when I would come back, I would be like 10 levels above some of the bosses and just beat them on my first try and come into work and hear people telling stories about...
Yeah, see, that's like a disappointing way to play it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Some of the appeal is in the triumph.
Yeah, sometimes you do it without thinking about it, right? You just grundle harder than you...
You know my favorite R. Kelly song is Bump and Grundle.
Grundle too hard. That was a part 7 video series.
To retract to our original point, the loading screens in Bloodborne every time you die feel like double punishment.
Yes, oh, for sure.
You already died.
Especially, like, because you have to farm for resources in that game in such a ridiculous way because the currency for everything is the same for leveling and for buying stuff.
Yep.
So, like, if I die and I use 13, you know, blood vials during that fight and all my Molotovs, then I have to spend, like, a pretty long time going back and fighting guys. And in a way, it's good.
I mean, it has permanence, like, and consequence, which is something that most games lack.
Well, and also, like, the momentary frustration leads to me being better at the game because then when I have to spend another half hour grinding, I kill that many more guys, I'm learning to dodge, I'm learning to lock on and use my weapons.
Yeah, and that's that's what makes when you finally beat a boss and it fades to black and it says "Prey slaughtered." Like that's the best feeling in the game.
Oh,
that's
so awesome. You did it. It wasn't a fluke. You couldn't fluke your way through that game.
Yeah. And you're just standing there in your apartment, just like panting. Like,
That was.
Your wife's just like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, it's very intense. The whole scenario is very intense. So, what do you think of the DLC?
I think DLC is great. I think it is incredibly hard, and it kind of sucks that... Nah, it doesn't suck, but it's just a fact of the matter is I beat the game, and so I was on New Game Plus, and so I'm playing the DLC on New Game Plus, and oh my god, it is so hard. Like, I kind of wish I could play it on not New Game Plus.
Yeah, so it's weird. I read a piece that Justin McElroy did at Polygon about how he can't play this DLC that he bought for $20 because it's basically locked away behind a level cap that you can get around by starting to play, but you're going to get your ass kicked.
You have to go fight Vigramelia, right?
Yeah. So if you haven't finished the game yet, then this is for you. Yeah. Which is like a weird thing to say, because it's like this should be specifically positioned for people who have finished the game and want more out of it. I thought this was going to be treated the way that what was it, Hearth's, what's the castle area, the ice castle?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where it's like it's an optional side quest. It has nothing to do with the main campaign, but if you find it, it's this whole awesome Castlevania world.
That's how Dark Souls 1 had the painted world that was like that, where it's like totally you can go through the game without playing it, or you can pop in as soon as you find it. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's also, I think a lot of people are going to get this game, because a lot of people are going to pick up PS4s for the holidays, and this is going to be one of those games where they look on IGN, they're like, oh, this is one of the highest scoring PS4 games, and the Game of the Year edition's out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys about that, because, I mean, obviously, it's the year's wrapping up, and pretty much if you've wanted the games you've wanted to play, you've probably played already. But I think this one got kind of swept under the rug a little bit. I mean, it sold pretty well in its first month. We are obviously championing it like crazy. But you're playing it now for the first time, even despite the fact that there's all these other big games that people are telling you should be playing.
I brought home three games specifically to play this Metal Gear and The Witcher over Thanksgiving break, and I only played this.
And Bloodborne took everything.
That's great. I want to get that out of Metal Gear or The Witcher, and I'm sure I will. But, like, man, this is like so up my alley. It's just like the type of game I enjoy. For
sure. I mean, go back and listen to we did a whole show about it where I ranted and raved about how much I love this game. It's such a special experience. I know if you've never played one of these games before, it can be totally off-putting and terrifying. That's how I felt. I got through the first few hours and totally fell in love with it. It's probably my game of the year right now. So if you're looking for one more thing to fit in before January and then the next wave of video games starts the next year, play Bloodborne, please.
Yeah,
and the Taken King's supposed to be...
The Taken King.
The new DLC.
You just kill him in that game.
It's supposed to be the lost DLC for it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the 100 is the only...
Yeah, it's the only thing they've announced. Because, I mean, Dark Souls 3 is going to
come out. Did you say last or lost? Because you said it like dancing.
That's just my accent, man.
Say HD.
HD.
Oh, no. You purposely did it different that time.
HD.
HD.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
So is lost and lost. How do you split that?
Lost.
Yeah. Like the last one and the lost.
That was last.
Lost.
My son is lost. The last place I saw him was.
Lost.
Yeah.
Those are distinct. Too close.
No, I don't think
I don't know.
In a sentence, I think it's fine.
You are a mean dog man or whatever.
I called him a dog-faced gremlin.
Anyway, play Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey. Also, you know who I want to give two shout-outs.
Yeah.
These two people are very different.
Okay.
I want to give a shout-out to Parker.
Yeah.
Remember Parker from last night? Literally the 8-year-old boy who came up to us at a pizza shop.
Yeah. Marty and I were having dinner at a pizza restaurant, and a mother came up to us and said, hi, are you guys from IGN? And she was like very excited and kind of shaking. And then she said, my son is a huge fan of you. So, or of IGN. We're just sort of guilty by that proxy. But he came over and introduced himself. His name's Parker. He started his own YouTube channel where he's like talking about video games
and stuff.
He's
going to have a job in probably 5 years.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
Man, like we have tough days here, but that was exactly why I do what I do. That was like one of the sweetest moments I've ever had.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. And then the other person is Cisco.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cisco. Who's going to have our job someday.
should we do this for Cisco?
Yeah. Cisco, this one's for you. Beyond.
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 Stop.
Beyond.
Stop.
Beyond.
Stop.
Thong song.
Cisco is a big fan of the podcast.
Yeah, he tweeted that his favorite part is the back and forth.
Yeah. He also said Podcast Beyond, which I love, because a lot of people thought that we did a separate show about fish.
Yeah. Well, it's about rocks, apparently.
All those things can be in ponds, so yes. Cisco, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. It is absolutely surreal that I got to say that. That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
We have one more thing on the list. Which is, sorry, we saved the worst for last.
Skateboarding with Andrew.
Skateboarding. Gone
grinded. Gone grinded. Gone grundled.
Brian, did you buy anything on Black Friday?
No.
Well, I bought other people did. On Black Friday.
That was the worst game of improv ever.
Exactly. So basically, PS4 did pretty well. Was best-selling hardware in the U.S. during Black Friday.
Yep.
And... interestingly, younger people, there was an 8% spike in interest and a 3% with older people. PS4 is the highest grossing product at Best Buy during Black Friday. Based on 150,000 receipts captured on mobile devices, the PS4 500 gig Uncharted console bundle was the biggest moneymaker. That's at Best Buy specifically, but apparently most other retailers have had PS4 ahead. Just kind of interesting. I mean, I don't think that means anything at all other than that PS4 is selling better at the moment anyway, and so people who have been waiting got some good deals.
I think people read that the seventh core was unlocked.
That's right. Might have been it.
That's all they needed. There were a lot of people waiting on that one. They're on that core fence.
There were a lot of bundles, either the Destiny bundle or the Uncharted bundle that came with one other game was what most retailers had. So you could get a free copy of Fallout or whatever, Battlefront. But the one I saw that I would have gotten if I didn't already have a PS4 was you got the Uncharted bundle, which is a 500 gig PS4 with the Uncharted trilogy. And then it came with Final Fantasy Type-Zero, which gives you the 15 demo, and Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I just thought that was a real nice little bundle.
That's a pretty good bundle.
Yeah.
But there are some other ones. I mean, if you bought the Battlefront one, you could get Fallout with it, which means you get a PS4, Battlefront, and Fallout for $300
like these,
or
these bundles are ridiculously awesome. Like,
yeah,
they just come home
really
with this big box of joy. Like,
and that's why this is like the first fall where I'm like, oh, like this is when you should be buying a PS4 if you don't have one, because this is like among the best deals you'll ever get. I mean, you're not, especially because like the Uncharted trilogy, like, yes, it's an HD remake, but like if you never played those games, like if you never had a PS3, then like, man, like jump in Uncharted 2 and 3 and then play Battlefront and then play Fallout. Like, that's like such a nice.
Yeah, we're in that really awesome time in the console life cycle where it's like you can jump in on any of these things and you're guaranteed to have years of enjoyment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the Wii U. We don't know how long.
Well, next year, on May 3rd, you can spend $400 for a PSVR.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or buy the Nintendo NX next year.
Yeah. We did it, Andrew.
Yay.
We didn't cry at all.
I put a little segment in this time.
Yeah, we'll get to user questions and stuff next week. We got a bunch of cool emails and stuff like that, and I want to check in with the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, obviously.
Yeah, and we want to wait. I think we'll do a really big episode probably a week from today with kind of talking about PSX and all the stuff that was announced there.
We'll do our 2016 predictions.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that'll be – well, I mean, there will be a couple episodes after that, right? That's not the last one of the year, is it?
I don't know.
Probably the one after that.
We'll make it work.
Beyond.
You guys are weird.
Man, this is a real awkward silence right now.
What, do you want me to talk? Like,
no, I think, are you
like
doing an outro?
I just started talking and everyone's looking at me and everyone's real quiet and I'm really nervous.
This is just like skateboarding with Andrew. Sometimes you fall, but you got to get back on those four wheels.
Yeah, grinding with grundles.
It's all the skateboard facts I know.
Grinding with Gruntilda. Like,
if you see us this weekend running around San Francisco for PlayStation, come say hello.
Yeah, if you're in San Francisco,
give us a Beyond. We'll yell back at you. We'll probably do a lot on the show floor.
Also, if you're at PSX, if you're in San Francisco, say hi to us. But also so Greg and Colin are doing PS I Love You Live.
Yep.
They have a panel. I believe it's at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
They're going to have all
afterwards,
kinda...
they're doing a meet and greet at Jillian's across the street, which a bunch of us are going to go to. With James Just Cause.
Yeah. John Cause himself.
I don't know where I was going with that.
What?
But they have Shuhei and Gio and a bunch of cool people are going to be on their podcast, which I'm sure will be great. And then, that meet and greet sounds pretty fun. I'm sure you'll make an appearance.
Yeah, we did it.
I'm like out of breath.
Oh, you did good, buddy.
It's been a long year. There's been a lot of video games this year.
It never ends. Yeah.
No, I mean literally the year does
December
end
31st, it will end.
That's how it
ends, like, super
point, counterpoint.
It's not really a counterpoint. It's just that's how the calendar goes.
Yeah, that is.
Just a fact.
They started it thousands of years ago, and we're still keeping it locked.
I bet you don't know where the first calendar was.
I have no idea. I thought an abacus was a Chinese math machine.
You know what the most amazing thing was? He said Chinese math machine. I was like, do you mean an abacus? I'm like, how did I get that?
We're dumb. And that's why we talk about video games for a living. Right, guys?
Chinese math machine?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm going to stop thinking about it.
You're going to get lost in my brain. It's going to get ugly.
I like the idea that like you're just going to wake up in a cold sweat one night, like Chinese math machine. You just see the abacus moving across. Andrew, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Garfep.
What's something people should do? Do you have anything you're proud of? Do you recommend anything that people should watch or eat or
I don't
see?
Know much I'm proud of. No, I think, no, and right
you're
now,
Eeyore.
I don't really
you're
do.
You're the worst character of the 100 Acre Woods.
I'm not really writing that much lately. Watch our PSX coverage. I mean, I'm helping put that together. We have a lot of good stuff. Pre-show, post-show, we'll have news, all that stuff. And, I mean, that's.
You like Fargo? Tell people to watch Fargo.
Fargo's real good. Season 2 is
really
great. I watched last night's episode.
Oh, I did not watch it yet.
It's very good. This is what happens. Yeah, Fargo's really good. Been hate watching Gotham. Don't like that show much at all, but I watch it every week.
Stop it. Just don't watch Gotham anymore.
There's the crossover. I watched The Flash and Arrow. The crossover starts tonight.
Is that any good?
Two-night event.
Oh, wait. The crossover's tonight.
Yeah, well, the first part's tonight and then second part tomorrow. I'm watching Supergirl.
Okay, now you're just describing a lot of shows.
I watch a lot of superhero TV shows.
Naming shows.
In all seriousness, Jessica Jones, I really, really like.
Jessica Jones is the best.
That might be my favorite Marvel thing and recent superhero thing. Highly recommended.
Mm-hmm. and watch The Leftovers.
That's a great show.
If you want a show that makes you just wildly depressed after you finish it, watch out.
If you're coming into town this weekend and you're looking for pizza recommendations, tweet at me and I'll give you a few. Tell me what neighborhood you're going to be in and I can probably find the best pizza place
there. I can use some of those.
Really?
Yeah, pizza recommendations.
We should get a bunch of us to go out
pizza?
And get
some,
we should pizza.
Yeah.
We should definitely pizza.
What's the past tense of pizza?
Grundled. I'm also on a show with Max called Up at Noon, which hopefully he comes back this week and actually does with me.
No, Max is dead.
Yeah, otherwise, tweet at him that he has diarrhea and he's gross in his butt.
Hey, he tweeted about your butt.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with my butt. I was out sick.
Okay.
With butt stuff.
You're very defensive about this butt situation.
What's the past?
Today? Bundled. And Max and I are also on a show called The Comedy Button, which you can go listen to. It's a podcast, and it's free, and it's every week, and we've been doing it for a very long time now. So go find those.
Yeah,
I like it.
Marty's on an episode coming up soon. So Jared was just on an episode.
Andrew's on an episode. Greg and Colin have been on an episode.
I've been on two or three, I think.
Yeah. Humblebrag. Stop
it. We get all our friends. We'll get you on one of these days.
I was going to say, I haven't.
You've been here for 3 days. You've already you're on this show already.
You've already got two laptops. One of them vaped or whatever happened. Alana,
one of my laptops vaped.
Where can people find you?
My usernames on all of the social medias are Charalanazad, but nobody knows how to spell that, so they can never find me.
Oh, that's really sad.
But I mean, really, I don't know.
Charalanazad?
Like, spell it out. So you took it's my name in the middle. Charizard
with Alana in the middle. It's not that hard.
Is that your
favorite? A lot of people don't get that.
Alana.
Yeah, but all the people say, like, Chahala Hazard.
Chahala Hazard.
Isn't Chahala a type of
dangerous Jewish bread?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a...
Yeah.
Like a baking accident?
That's me. That's where you can find me on social media.
Okay.
Yeah, you haven't gotten to do much yet, but I think you're going to do lots of cool stuff. Yeah. All of our toy unboxings, interviews, and all that stuff. That'll all be you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be at CES in a month. The two of us in a month.
Yes.
We're going to be doing a lot of dumb videos.
Wow.
It's right after break. So I never go.
It's going to be good.
We did.
Let's do it.
Yeah, email us at beyond@ign.com. We will get the questions next week. Join the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, which is facebook.com/podcastbeyond/ Grundle Boulders.
Yeah, Grundle Boulders.
Do not go to that. Do not type that anywhere on the internet on our behalf. You assume at your own risk you can type that.
Type it.
I'm totally going to go type it right now.
Please don't. do it on the computer that's smoking.
It's vaping. It's different than smoke. You could do it on an airplane.
No, you can't.
Can you?
I don't know.
You can't vape on an airplane.
You cannot vape on an airplane.
I don't vape. I just chain smoke and have asthma attacks. I'm an idiot. On that note, thank you for listening to Podcast Beyond, episode 421, for Andrew Goldfarb, Brian Altano, Alana Pierce, and the recently deceased Max Scoville.
Mm-hmm. With diarrhea.
Beyond.
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 And beyond.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.